We continue our study of Anothering this morning. Author Irma Bombeck once shared with her readers a list of her New Year's resolutions. They included, I'm going to clean this dump just as soon as the kids grow up. I will go to no doctor whose office plants have died. I'm going to follow my husband's suggestion to put a little excitement into my life by living within our budget. I'm going to apply for a hardship scholarship to Weight Watchers. I will never loan my car to anyone I've given birth to. And finally, I'm going to remember that my children need love the most when they deserve it the least. We have said that love is a resource given by God to another as Jesus has called us to another is going to require a supply that is directly from God Himself. And so love is a resource given by God through His Holy Spirit. But we've also said love is a resolve. It is a decision made by His children. Nobody stumbles their way into better anothering. Anotherers are deciders. They have decided to get serious about relationships because they are serious about discipleship. And solitary discipleship is a contradiction in terms. So what we're going to do now in this series is we're going to begin to explore at a more practical level what it means to decide to another at a new level. We're going to talk about encouraging one another, greeting one another, accepting one another, forgiving one another. But I want to begin on what I think is the key piece that we have to build on. And it is not where I think most of us would think we would start at, but I'm convinced it's where we must start. We must remember to member. And let me explain by asking you to look with me at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. This was read at the beginning of our service this morning. It says this, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And I am persuaded we cannot become better anotherers until we get a better understanding of what it means to be a member. You see, anothering is intentional, but it is not institutional. You know, one of the most unique doctrines of the Christian faith is the incarnation. There is no other religion in the world that has this idea that God has become flesh. In fact, some religions would call that heresy. But we believe God became flesh in the person of Jesus. He has become one of us. The doctrine of incarnation, but also unique to the Christian faith, is what I would call the continuing incarnation. You see, in one sense, we know that Jesus now in the flesh is in heaven at the right hand of God, but in another sense, Jesus is also in the flesh on the earth through His body, the church. Colossians 1 verse 18, the very first part of the verse says, and He is the head of the body, the church. It is His body. Get this, because it is important. This means that fundamentally the church is an organism and not an organization. If you look at the metaphors for the church in the New Testament, you will notice they all have this constant theme of being living things, like a vine or a bride, or even when the church is called a temple, people say, or Peter says, we are living stones. And this is significant for this reason. Because typically when we want to improve something, we think the way to do that is better systems and better structures. We think organizationally. But programmed anothering is an organizational attempt to correct an organic problem. Anothering has got to be intentional. It has got to transcend the institutional. The church is Jesus' body, and that gives the idea of membership a completely different paradigm. And I would suggest that most of the ways that we use the word member among ourselves is foreign to the New Testament understanding of that word. In the New Testament, membership is not something that you practice, or not something that you place, it's something that you practice, excuse me. And I'm going to be honest, most of us, myself included, have used this expression. Have you placed your membership? And that is an organizational concept. It reflects a church as a club mentality. Now, most of you at one time in your life have been a member of a club. Maybe it was a parent-teacher organization, or a gardening club, or a book club. Maybe you were part of a booster club that supports athletic teams at your school. We know what it means to be a part of a club. Now, in a club, how do you remain a member in good standing? You have to do three things. You have to attend the meetings at least occasionally. You have to keep the rules of the club, and you have to pay your dues. Sadly, that defines for many churches what it means to be a good member. Well, they come at least a couple times a month. I don't know of any big scandal in their life. They give a little. They are good members of our church. Is that how the word is used in the New Testament? I have, over the course of my life, been a member of different clubs. And by that kind of definition, I don't have to know anybody to be a good member in the club. I don't have to love anybody. I don't even have to like anybody in that club. I just have to keep the rules, show up every once in a while, and pay my dues. And if I will keep the rules and pay my dues, they don't care how often necessarily that I even show up. I would still be a good member. Now, if we do church this way, we will never excel at anothering, because this definition does not require you to belong to anyone else. But the Bible says, again, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. As long as membership is something that you place, it will be possible for members to lose their place and nobody will even know it. But could you lose a member of your physical body and not know it? Did your child ever come home from school and you say, "Where's your arm?" I don't know, Mom. I had it when I left this morning. You cannot lose a member of a body and not know it. If you were driving down the street and you saw a building under construction and there's a bunch of bricks in front of that building in a pile and they're using that pile of bricks to build a wall, and the wall is maybe halfway built, the bricks are about halfway up, the rest are in the pile, and you wanted to steal some of those bricks, where would you steal those bricks from? Would you go to the wall where they are mortared and connected, or would you steal from the pile where they're together but they're not connected? You see, if Satan is going to try to steal members, where is he going to go? If we are going to raise the level of anothering at the fort, we are going to have to consciously remember to member as a body and not as a club. And what would that practice mean for us? What I am going to do this morning is to read a longer text, and we're going to see in a real practical way what it would mean if we took seriously the New Testament definition of membership. It is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning actually in verse 12, if you want to follow along in your own Bible. The Apostle Paul wrote these words. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So what does this mean? What does it mean to remember to member biblically? Well, the first thing it means is this: no one among us is sufficient. The concept of body membership challenges the value that our culture places on independence, because this is not how a body thinks. My hand, for example, is a very, very valued part of my body. I use my hand to drive. I use it to hold a pen. I use it to brush my hair. I use it to put pizza in my mouth. And my hand is very useful as long as it belongs to the rest of the body. Cut this hand off, and all it will do is putrefy and rot. Now, consequently, the phrase, "I don't need any of you," simply isn't a part of anotherer's vocabulary. Look at how verse 19 is rendered in the Message. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. You see, the body values participation, not isolation. Let me illustrate. I have had the extreme privilege of being able to feed my grandson, Ian. When Ian eats the food, it is supposed to be dissolved and incorporated into his body. But every once in a while, the food wants to maintain its own identity. So his gastric juices will disfellowship any food that does not desire to be a part of his body, and that food is then incorporated into my clothing. But you see, that's how bodies work. Isn't it interesting that Jesus wrote to a church in Laodicea where he criticized their self-sufficiency? He said to them, "You say I have need of nothing," and Jesus says, "Keep that kind of talk up and I will spew you out of my mouth." Anotherers understand they don't just need to love, but they need the people that they need to love. Because nobody in the body is sufficient. That's what would happen among us if we began to member biblically. Another thing, anyone is important. Body membership doesn't value sufficiency, it does value equality. Look again at verse 13 from 1 Corinthians 12. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The world had never seen anything like this, where ethnic walls, gender walls, socioeconomic walls were disappearing, where people belonged to each other across all of those divisions that have been separating men and women since the fall. Club membership does not do that. In fact, you already know how to decide who is most important in a club. Visibility. Whose pictures are on the walls? Whose names are on the walls? Who sits at the head table in the club meetings? And it is so easy and so unhealthy to carry that kind of thinking into the church. Bodies don't think that way. Bodies understand that those members of the body that you can't see are just as and maybe even more important than those members that we can see. You see, I can show you my two hands. You cannot see my two lungs. My hands are prettier. I would rather have a picture of my two hands than a picture of my two lungs. But if I had to choose, I would rather have my two lungs. And listen, when the church is at her best, she understands that there are so many people giving so selflessly that never get applauded, that rarely get noted. And that's okay because they are members of a body, not a club. You see, anothering goes to a new level when we start to understand that we're all on the same level. And you know what? Your body gets this. Paul says, in the body, every member rejoices with one member. About 3 years ago, I was having problems with my sciatic nerve. Now, your sciatic nerve is a cord that runs through your leg, down through your pelvic bone, and sometimes it can get irritated or kind of kinked in a sense in the area of the pelvic bone, and it can be genuinely debilitating to some people at times. And there was a period where I could not sleep, I could not sit. Standing was not all that comfortable either. It was a real drag, to be honest. I did some physical therapy, and I was instructed by one of them on exercises that I could continue, and it would eventually relieve. And finally, it did. And let me tell you something. My whole body rejoiced over that. Because that problem with my sciatic nerve was bothering my whole body. A few weeks back, I got up in the middle of the night. And if you're young, you can't understand why I would do that. Just wait, you will understand. But I also decided I needed a drink because my mouth was dry. So I walked into the kitchen, a walk that I have made hundreds of thousands of times, but this time there was our heater on the floor and I didn't see it, and my little toe came into contact with it. Now, I know that I am cured of this desire to cuss because I would have let her rip back in my days before Christ, had that kind of pain happened to me back then. But I stubbed my toe good. And I guess some would say that my little toe is not the most important part of my body. But let me tell you something. The whole body suffered with that little toe. I don't know how to dance, but I'll tell you something. I was throwing down some moves that night in the dark in my living room. My feet started hopping and my hips started swerving and my shoulders were turning and even my hands were flapping and my head was thinking, help the little toe, help the little toe, do something. You see, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And that just does not happen in a club. It happens in bodies. Listen, I'm not saying I'm against programs or I'm against systems. Programming can promote care, but programming cannot produce care. We're not going to care and need programs until we belong to each other. So, in other words, care because they understand that they are connected through Christ. And what affects one affects all of us. That is because we are members of one another. One more thing. Everyone is tolerant. What do I mean by that? In a club, each member can go his or her own way. But in a body, the parts submit to the will of the whole. I love how the Message renders verse 13. It says, we each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. Let me tell you something about anotherers. They are great submitters. Anotherers don't have to have their own way. They can tolerate almost anything if it is blessing the rest of the body. Now, this is a maturity level that a lot of churches, frankly, never actually get to. This is why so many churches fight and feud and fuss. Because they are not members belonging to each other, but they are parts, each thinking about their own preferences. But in a body, mutual harmony is more important than personal preference. When you have that kind of a body, then you can have a 16-year-old boy with a nose ring sitting to an 80-year-old woman, and the two things they have in common are Jesus and blue hair. But it works. You see, when a body comes together and all the members work together for Jesus, it is a powerful thing. And Satan knows this. Satan knows the power of a healthy body. So he is diligent to sow discord. Think about it. It is so much easier for Satan to create strife among Christians who think that they are part of a club. And if they don't get their way, they'll just go to the club down the street. That's why it's so much harder for Satan to infect Christians who say, "I belong to this body." Now, most bodies do not die from external causes. Most of us are not going to die from an accident or an act of violence. Most of us are going to die because at some point a cancer, a neurological disorder, some disease, at some point internally, the body will start to attack itself. And this is how most churches die. Because Satan is able to sow discord among the members. And so Ephesians chapter 4 verse 3 will never, ever be unimportant. Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In other words, make body fitness a priority, especially by constantly exercising their grace and their humility. So let me ask you this one question. How healthy would our body be if everyone practiced your kind of membership? If everyone else was your kind of member, would this body be healthy? Do you belong, or do you just kind of tag along? In 2005, there was a movie called Coach Carter. It was based on a true story about a man named Ken Carter who ran a sporting goods store in Richmond, California. There was a school there in a very troubled part of town that had a lot of problems. And because no one else wanted to, he took over the basketball program. He was disappointed to learn that there was little discipline. There was low academics. And he decided that he was going to be what those boys needed. He instituted a dress code and insisted on good grades and good character. And you can imagine, early on, there was a lot of opposition. One of the star players with whom many of the teammates had issues bucked this whole new system, and he was told that he was no longer a part of the team. So you know at some point there's going to be a crucial turning point in this story, and it's going to go one way or the other. And the boy that was kicked off the team comes back and he asks Coach Carter to be reinstated. And Coach Carter says, "Well, then you've got to do 2,500 push-ups and 1,000 suicide drills by Friday if you're going to be back on my team." And even Coach told him that was impossible. I want you to watch this clip.
"Come on. All right, that's it for today. We have a game tomorrow, so we'll get some rest tonight. Remember, ties and jackets tomorrow. But came up short. You owe me 80 suicides, 500 push-ups. Please leave my gym. Thanks, Clyde. Gentlemen, see you tomorrow.
I'll do what's up for him. He said we're a team. One person struggles, we all struggle. One player triumphs, we all triumph, right? I'll do something. I'll run suicides too.
There are a few sermons that I have preached where the enemy would hope that you're not listening more than this one. Religious clubs give him very little problem, but he is extremely threatened by a healthy body. So let's threaten the enemy. I want to pray with you. Would you stand up as we pray together?